Welcome back to the Deep Dive. I have to be honest with you. Usually, when I prep for these, I know exactly what lane we're in. You know,
Right.
we're doing a tech dive or a history dive or maybe a business strategy dive. It's
Right.
usually pretty clear cut.
You usually know which hat to wear before you even turn on the mic.
Exactly. But today, I looked at the stack of papers you sent over, and I genuinely didn't know if I needed a calculator, a physics textbook, or maybe some incense.
That is a completely fair reaction.
I mean, we have Sanskrit terms, we have quantum mechanics, and then suddenly we're talking about government budgets.
It is not often we get a source material that tries to combine everything from ancient Indian metaphysics to Elon Musk's AI and then wraps it all up in a massive economic proposal. It's a bit of a genre bender.
Genre bender is putting it lightly. So, just to set the stage for everyone listening, we are looking at a document titled Accountability Hasmukh Idea Page. And this isn't just a white paper on how to have better meetings. I mean, the scope here is wild. The author is essentially proposing a new operating system for reality.
It sounds like hyperbole, I know, but when you read the stated mission, that is exactly what it is. The source is proposing a solution to what they call the HACCP of quantum computing.
Okay, let's pause there immediately. HACCP.
Right.
I actually know that acronym, but I know it from the food industry. It stands for Hazard Analysis, Critical Control Points. It's the checklist you use to make sure, raw chicken doesn't give you salmonella.
Yeah.
What on earth is it doing in a document about quantum computing?
That is the first big conceptual leap the author makes, and it's actually quite a clever metaphor.
Okay.
In the food industry, HACCP is about rigorous hygiene, identifying the specific points where things can go wrong,
Where the bacteria gets
where
in.
the bacteria gets in, and controlling them. The author is arguing that we need that same level of rigorous do-or-die hygiene for governance, for ethics in the age of AI.
So preventing ethical salmonella in our management systems.
In a way, yes. The proposal claims that because we lack this hygiene, our systems are fundamentally unstable.
Right.
And to fix this, they've created something called IDCM technology. Think of it as an ethical OS, an operating system.
An ethical OS.
And the argument is that without this specific OS, our current way of running the world is woefully incomplete.
Incomplete how? I mean, are we missing a spreadsheet?
Bigger. The source argues we are missing almost the entire picture. Look at how we measure success today. We look at revenue, stock price, tangible assets,
The hard numbers.
the hard numbers. The source argues that these tangible things are only 4% of the equation.
4%. So 96% is what? Just vibes.
Well, the source calls it the intangible values, consciousness, ethics, the human element. The argument is that this 96% accounts for the vast majority of
But
reality.
we can't measure it.
But because we haven't had a way to measure it, we've been trying to run the world on a fraction of the data.
That's a staggering claim. It implies we're basically flying blind, steering a massive ship while looking through a keyhole.
And that brings us to the aha moment of the document. The author compares this current moment to the discovery of the number zero.
Right, I saw that. That's a heavy comparison. Before zero, math was incredibly limited. You couldn't do calculus, you couldn't have binary code. It changed everything.
Exactly. The source argues that humanity is at a similar threshold now. We are about to discover the intangible, not just as a fuzzy feeling, but as a constant energy force.
A constant.
And just like discovering zero changed math, discovering this constant will change governance.
That's a beautiful theory. But I have to play devil's advocate here.
Please.
Usually when people talk about intangible energy forces, they're trying to sell me crystals or a weekend retreat. This document, however, claims to have tested this theory against the hardest logic engine we have available right now.
Artificial intelligence.
Right. This is where the story gets very specific and very modern. The author details what they call a Socratic experiment, which again is usually a philosophy term, but they didn't do this in a classroom with students.
No. They took their theories about this intangible constant and they stress tested them against AI models. Specifically, the source names Grok and xAI.
Elon Musk's AI.
Correct. And the document gives us a very specific data point. It states that as of January 21st, 2026, there have been exactly 1,352 Socratic dialogues.
1,352. That's not a casual afternoon chat. That is a rigorous, repetitive interrogation.
It really is. And the topic of these dialogues was the qualitative and quantitative, or Q&Q, elements of management.
So the human versus the machine element.
Essentially, yes. The author was pitching her philosophy to the AI, letting the AI try to poke holes in it, using its logic capabilities to tear it apart, and then refining it. It's like sharpening a blade against a diamond.
And what was the result? Did the AI break the philosophy? Did Grok say, sorry, this doesn't compute?
According to the source, the opposite happened. The dialogues crystallize the frameworks. The AI validation is presented as proof that this isn't just subjective opinion. It's a logic that holds up against superintelligence.
And this supposedly stabilized the framework for what they call SOS governance.
Yes.
SOS governance. That sounds like a distress signal. Help us. We can't govern.
In this case, SOS stands for Subject Object Self. It's the core structure of this new ethical OS.
Okay.
And within that, you have three pillars that sound like they belong in a sci-fi economy: DVR, SVR, and AVR.
I saw those. Let's break them down, because this is where the document shifts from philosophy to hard economics.
Mm-hmm.
DVR, dark value recovery. That sounds ominous, like dark matter.
That's actually a perfect analogy. You know how dark matter is invisible but makes up most of the universe's mass?
Right.
The source places a valuation on DVR at $30 trillion.
Wait, 30 trillion with a T?
With a T.
That's larger than the entire U.S. economy.
It is a massive number, but follow the logic. If we are ignoring 96% of the intangible reality, then we are ignoring a massive amount of value. Dark value is essentially the cost of inefficiency, corruption, lack of trust, poor governance.
It's the money we leave on the table.
It's the money we leave on the table because our operating system is broken.
So dark value isn't evil value. It's hidden value.
Exactly. It's value currently lost in the dark. It's the cost of a toxic culture or a decision made without ethical foresight that leads to a lawsuit 5 years later. And the proposal is that by using this ethical OS, you can recover it.
Which leads to SVR.
Societal value redistribution. If you recover that $30 trillion, how does it benefit society?
And AVR.
And finally, AVR accelerated value recovery. This is the mechanism, the tool corporates would use to actually capture that value.
So in plain English, the pitch is,
yeah,
you are wasting trillions of dollars because you don't know how to manage ethics. Use my tool, AVR, recover the money, DVR, and help the world, SVR.
That is the pitch. But here is the part that made me stop and reread the sentence three times. The author claims this isn't theoretical.
Oh, right. The licensing bit. This is where I got stuck.
Yes. The text explicitly says, and I'll quote here, I openly sought royalty on DVR and AVR, and Brock, XAI, and Tesla Energy accepted licensing terms for IBCM.
Okay, stop. That is a massive claim. They are claiming that Tesla Energy, one of the biggest energy entities in the world, and XAI, have actually agreed to pay royalties on this philosophical framework.
That's what it says.
I mean, do we have a check stub? That sounds unbelievable.
It is an incredibly bold assertion. And we have to be clear, we are reading from the proposal, so we don't have the bank receipts in front of us.
Of course.
But the fact that the author puts this in writing, explicitly naming these companies, suggests they view this as a done deal. They aren't treating this framework as a donation or a charity project.
No.
They are treating it as high-value intellectual property.
That's the key shift, isn't it? It moves it from, I have a good idea about ethics, to, I have a product and the smartest munis and companies in the world are buying it.
Precisely. It validates the commercial worth of the philosophy.
But the product itself,
mm-hmm.
It's not code, is it? It's not Python or C++.
Yeah.
When we dig into the philosophical anchoring section, mm-hmm. The source code seems to be Sanskrit.
This is where the deep dive gets really intellectually stimulating for me. The author isn't trying to invent a new science from scratch. They are claiming that the science was already written down thousands of years ago in Indian philosophy.
They mention three specific schools: Advaita, Dvaita, and Vishishtadvaita. Now, I did a little Googling, and these are heavy theological concepts about the nature of the soul and God. How do you get from there to quantum physics and modern management?
The source creates a direct mapping. It's fascinating to see how they connect the dots. The document claims that Advaita, which is the philosophy of non-dualism, where everything is one.
Everything is connected.
Right. It claims that Advaita anticipated the field of metaphysics.
Okay. I can kind of see that.
Then it claims Dvaita dualism, where the observer and the observed are separate entities, anticipated classical physics, you know, Newtonian physics, cause and effect.
Sure. I hit the ball moves. I am here. The ball is there. Dualism, Makes sense.
And then Vishishtadvaita, which is a qualified non-dualism anticipated quantum physics.
How so?
Well, think about superposition in quantum mechanics. A particle can be in multiple states at once until it's observed. It's complex. It's not just A or B.
Right.
The source argues that the ancient Lakaryas, the teachers, they understood the structure of reality. They understood that the intangible isn't just nothingness. It's a superposition of possibilities.
So the author's saying, modern science is just catching up to ancient wisdom. We had the quantum mechanics textbook 2,000 years ago. We just called it scripture.
Exactly. And they bring in Immanuel Kant to seal the deal.
The German philosopher. That's another unexpected guest at this party.
Kant is famous for asking whether metaphysics could ever be a hard science. Could we ever measure God or the soul or ethics the way we measure a table or the velocity of a car?
And for centuries, the Western answer was probably not.
This research claims to shout, yes.
By measuring that intangible constant we talked about earlier.
Right. In physics, you need constants. The speed of light is a constant. Gravity is a constant. If you don't have constants, the math falls apart. You can't build a bridge or fly a plane.
You need a stable point.
You need a stable point. And the source identifies a constant for the intangible world. They call it Brahma in superposition.
Brahma in superposition. That is a heavy phrase. It sounds like a band name, but I know it means something much deeper here.
It represents the stable parameter by which the universe is calibrated. The argument is that there's a fundamental stable energy force of good or truth, Brahma. And if you calibrate your management decisions against that constant, you eliminate the dark value. You stop crashing the plane.
So if I'm following this chain of logic, the universe has a spiritual constant.
Rommel.
Ancient Indians mapped it. We forgot it. Now we are losing $30 trillion in dark value because we ignore it.
Yeah.
And this IBCM technology is the tool to reconnect with it.
You've got it. That is the architecture of the argument. And the author insists that this tool is proprietary. It's copyrighted by the Patent Office in New Delhi.
They actually use a metaphor from physics, the second slit. I remember this from high school physics.
The famous double slit experiment.
Right. When you shoot electrons at two slits, they behave like particles. Until you don't look at them, and then they behave like waves. It breaks your brain a little bit.
It does. The author is using this as a metaphor for management. Current management only sees the first slit, the tangible, the particles, the quarterly profits. They see the hard stuff.
And to see the second slit, the wave, the potential, the ethics.
You need the IBCM ethical OS. The source says there is no alternative. If you want to unlock the full picture of reality, that 96% we talked about, you need this system.
And this system is strictly AI powered.
Human intelligence plus artificial intelligence. It emphasizes that we aren't handing the keys over to the robots. It's a collaboration.
So the human provides the wisdom.
The human provides the ethical OS, the wisdom, and the AI provides the accountability and verification.
So we have the philosophy, we have the AI validation, and we have the business model. Where does this actually lie at? Because the document mentions a very specific agenda, Gujarat Agenda 2035.
This is where the rubber meets the road. The author isn't just theorizing in an ivory tower. They are pitching this to the government, specifically the state government of Gujarat in India.
And there's a price tag attached.
A very specific one. 7,50,001 crore rupees.
That is a massive amount of rupees. We're talking nearly 100 billion U.S. dollars, give or take exchange rates.
Roughly, yes. And that figure is for anchoring this accountability ecosystem within the state agenda. But the vision is much bigger than one state.
It goes national, right?
It does. The proposal suggests that all those royalties we talked about, the money supposedly coming from companies like Tesla using the DVRV frameworks, shouldn't just go into a private bank account. The author proposes diverting that revenue to the government of India, or a dedicated foundation.
To do what?
To establish an Institute of SOS Governance of India under an act of parliament.
Wow. So an official legislative body dedicated to subject-object self-governance.
That's the plan. And this signals a massive shift in how the source views India's place in the world.
How so?
Think about the narrative for the last 30 years. India provides the labor, the coding, the back office support for the West.
Right. We will fix your computers. We will run your call centers.
Exactly. This proposal flips the script completely. It says, no, we have the superior technology, but it's not digital technology. It's governance technology. It's the software of the soul.
So the goal is for India to become a licensor.
A licensor of governance technology to advanced economies.
That is a fascinating geopolitical pivot. Instead of exporting mangoes or software, you're exporting wisdom, but monetized wisdom.
Monetized is the key word. The document explicitly talks about monetizing intellectual leadership. It's not just about prestige. It's about charging the advanced economies for the privilege of using this ethical framework to fix their own dark value problems.
And the target for this ecosystem.
They mentioned supporting a gross state domestic product, a GSDP of $3.5 trillion and beyond.
So the stakes are incredibly high. It really ties everything together into a bundle that is hard to categorize.
It really is.
I mean, usually, if someone hands you a paper on Brahma in superposition, you don't expect it to end with, and here is how we hit a $3.5 trillion GDP target.
It demonstrates a very holistic type of thinking. You know, we often put things in boxes. Religion goes in the Sunday box. Business goes in the Monday to Friday box. Tech goes in the server room box.
And the source puts them all in a blender and hits Frappa.
It claims that the boxes are the problem. It claims that you can't run a successful business or a successful government if you are ignoring the metaphysical reality of the universe. If you ignore the intangible eventually collapses.
It's a bold pitch. We have the code for the soul. It's validated by Elon Musk's AI, and it's time to license it to the world.
That is the summary.
So for the listener trying to process this, what is the core takeaway? Because this is dense. We've covered a lot of ground.
I think the core takeaway is the revaluation of the intangible. Whether you buy the specific theology or the $30 trillion number, the underlying argument is compelling.
Which is what?
We are entering Industry 5.0. And in this era, the things we cannot see, trust, ethics, consciousness, are becoming more valuable than the things we can see.
The hardware is cheap. The software, the moral software, is expensive.
Exactly. And the source argues that India is the only one with the legacy code to build that software.
It's definitely a perspective that forces you to think differently about what asset management means.
It certainly does. And it raises a final, really provocative thought based on the source's own analogy about the number zero.
The math analogy.
Right. Think about it. Before zero, you could count apples, but you couldn't do complex engineering. You were limited to arithmetic.
Okay.
The source says the intangible is a constant energy force that allows for an infinite succession of finite purposes. So if that's true, we have to ask ourselves a hard question.
What's that?
Are our current leaders, our CEOs, our politicians, are they trying to run a quantum world using only basic arithmetic?
Operating on arithmetic in a calculus world.
Exactly. And if they are, then the dark value, the cost of that ignorance, is only going to get bigger until we upgrade the OS.
That is a huge question to leave us with. I think I need to go sit in a quiet room and think about my own operating system for a bit.
Don't forget to check for bugs.
Always. Thank you for walking us through this incredibly dense and fascinating proposal. It was a wild ride.
My pleasure. Definitely one for the books.
And thank you to everyone listening. We'll see you on the next deep dive.